Can you hear me? Good morning. So, am I audible? Rumor has it that the attention span, I don't know how founded that is, of some congregants, it may not necessarily be here, that is about 15, at the most 20 minutes. And this person was saying to me, wow, Mudzunga, when you go there, don't preach for more than 20 minutes, otherwise you'll be preaching to yourself. And I said, how would I know that I've gone beyond? I don't have a stopwatch to look, to make sure that indeed I'm within the time frame. It's so good to be here. And it's so good to see all of you here. We come a long way together. I see familiar faces. I've greeted some lawyers outside. I see Goon. I see, oh my goodness, the partnership, those that have been to South Africa before. Well, what I've been saying is not part of the sermon, I guess. I want to start with the sermon now. The theme that I've given, it's who are you in Christ? Who am I in Christ? I was quite touched now when Pastor Steve was talking about love. That 1 John chapter 4, the epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. So the Philippians, the text on Philippians is about Paul writing to the Philippians. Quite interesting. He's in prison, in the one of the Roman prisons. And this letter from Paul is about expressing a word of gratitude. Just like my daughter said, that if something does good for you, it's important to say thank you and not to take that for granted. So Paul is writing from prison. I'm not so sure whether there were flushing toilets there. Were the flushing toilets then? Where did they have electricity in those prisons? Did they have the air conditioner in those prisons? And there he was writing to those that were supposed to be writing to him, to comfort him, because he was in prison. When you're in prison, you don't do as you wish. You dance to the tune of those that have imprisoned you. And in addition to that, Paul wrote his letter to encourage them in their faith. How do you encourage those that are outside? It shouldn't it be the other way around? That they should encourage you. Don't lose hope when you're in prison. The Lord will assist you. But now he's writing to those that are outside. It's all about happiness should not depend on circumstances. Because if it depends on circumstances, and if we encounter floods and homes are swept away, if we encounter fires and homes are burnt, then the happiness will be gone, because that type of happiness is dependent on external things. Happiness depends mostly on happenings. But joy depends on Christ. What is important for Paul here is to know God above everything else. But the things that Paul said a word which Paul said in one version, and my mom never allowed us to mention that word. He said, I regard everything as R-U, can you spell? R-U, double B, I, S-H. Get it? Mom would never allow us to mention that word. And this is what Paul was saying. I regard everything as R-U-B-B-I-S-H. Because what was important to him was Christ, and Christ alone, and the power of resurrection. Isn't it ironic that somebody is preaching to us being in prison? That joy does not come from outward circumstances? And he said, all loss compared to the greatness of knowing Christ. It's a profound statement about values. A profound statement about values. To know Christ should be our ultimate goal. It's not about law-keeping and self-improvement and what have you. We are made righteous by God. So Paul gave everything. His family, friendship, and so on. And some of you are saying, is this woman saying we should go back home and said we're leaving you guys because now we have found Christ? It's all over. I want to focus on Jesus Christ. And nothing more. It's like this sentence that I read some times ago, which says, this person was praying, said, bless us with earthly possessions. However, the earthly possessions should not possess us. I remember this guy who worked for so many years, managed to build a house, managed to buy a car, and when he went to church, he made sure that he was early so that the place where he sits is not occupied by any other person. He was sitting at a strategic place to make sure that his car is safe. When people were laughing, he was stealing a look. And when people are clapping hands, he would join them later to make sure that, oh, is my car safe? Is it safe where it's parked now? Nobody's going to scratch it. So in a way, we can say, was he possessed by the blessing that came from God? Bless us with earthly possessions, but the earthly possessions do not possess us. So Paul, towards the end, he's advising us to forget what is behind. Paul was also saying to me, forget what you went through during apartheid era. It took me long. It was a pain in me to have lost my father 2 days after I arrived in this country. I never buried my father. Maybe in your culture it's different, but in our culture, it's so important to pay the last respect, to bury your parent. I couldn't because the police were waiting for me. The church was more than willing, you know, to fly me back home, the church in Chicago. But my sister was saying, please don't come back. You'll become a statistic. And it took me time to forget. It was so painful. It was so painful, so painful. And Paul is saying, I was not the only one. There are so many people who went through hell during apartheid era, as my daughter was saying, who were tortured and lost their lives. Runa, we can stand here and talk to you. And now Paul is saying to some people who have lost their family members, don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. There's a sense in which I would become stunted. I don't know whether I'm pronouncing the word correctly because I don't have an American accent. You know, you become stunted. You don't grow when you live in the past. And negative attracts negative. If I think about one thing which is negative, it will attract another negative thing. He said, don't live in the past. We are well aware you were harassed. I remember when I was searched by, as my daughter was saying, searched by a white male. You know when somebody touches your body at a roadblock? And I said, do you have a woman who can do this? There were no women. Men were doing as they wish with my body. And here I was, humiliated. And Christ, Paul is saying, forget about the past. Because if we dwell in the past, we're not going to grow. Because I was more like, do you know a corpse that walks around and eats food? I was more like a corpse. That I was just existing. I was not living. And now Paul is saying, forget that. Because fear, anger, hatred, racism, all these isms, the isms will make us live in the past. The black spiritual would say, you cannot plow straight looking back. You can't plow straight looking back. Because fear and hatred, it's more like, will destroy me. The Chinese would say, if you don't learn from your experience, you grow backwards. You grow backwards. I want to ask a question. But before I ask that question towards the end, I'm saying Christ cannot help us. We first forgive ourselves and forgive those that made life miserable for us. Some of them may not necessarily come to you to apologize. We had the truth and reconciliation in South Africa. It was painful. People who never buried their own children were told, were seeing for the first time, the perpetrators, those who killed them. And they were asked to forgive them. Christ would say, like Stefan, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Some would kill us because of fear. Fear of things that they don't know. Fear of the color. Some fear the color. But we forgive. The forgiveness is more about me. When I forgive you, it's about me to liberate myself. It's not about the next person. If I don't forgive you, I suffer. But if I forgive you, I sleep with a clear conscience and be able to move forward. Fear emancipates. And forgiveness, when you forgive, when I forgive, I'm emancipating myself. In conclusion, I'm not so sure what comes first, whether it's in conclusion or in the final analysis or as I conclude, or whether I should use them all. One can ask questions. You don't have to answer. You can answer these questions inwardly. Do you place anything above your relationship with Christ? You know, some of the answers, like I told you how I used to be before you forgive. But your body language, your body language can betray you. How are you? I'm fine. I told you I'm fine. I'm doing well. Didn't I tell you that I'm doing well? So why ask more? I'm doing well. And you could tell that inwardly, I'm crying for help. And sometimes you refuse that help that comes your way. So, do you place anything above your relationship with Christ? What are you willing to give up in order to know God? What are you willing to give up in order to know God? If your priorities or values are not in order, how do you make sure that they're in order? And what is holding us back? What's holding us back? I'm whispering now. What's holding us back? Sometimes holding us back to deal with issues of racism. I remember we had a delegation from another state in South Africa, not for partnership. And this person was saying, I used to fear black people. I didn't know they're so kind, so loving, so open. And blacks were saying, we used to fear white people. We didn't know what to expect from them. We fear each other without knowing each other. So Christ is our unifier. And Paul, addressing the Philippians, was saying, rejoice in the Lord. I always say rejoice in spite of the type of the situation in which you find yourself in. If there were no judges here, I was going to sing, rejoice in the Lord. I say, rejoice in the Lord. I say, rejoice in the Lord. I say, rejoice. Rejoice, I say, rejoice in the Lord. I say, rejoice in the Lord. I say, rejoice in the Lord. I say, rejoice, rejoice. I say, rejoice. May God bless us.